BBC News with Mary Small. The Israeli parliament has approved the incoming government formed by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. In a speech earlier, Mr. Netanyahu said he'd pursue talks with the Palestinians on economic, security and political issues. Mr. Netanyahu, who leads the right-wing Likud party, will head the biggest government in Israel's history. Tim Franks reports.
Benjamin Netanyahu appealed directly to the leaders of the Palestinian Authority. If you really want peace, he said, we can achieve it. The new Israeli Prime Minister would pursue parallel tracks with the Palestinians on the economy, on security and in politics. Mr. Netanyahu insisted that Israel didn't want to control or reign over another people. Although he didn't explicitly state it in his speech, Benjamin Netanyahu has previously made it clear that his ambition for the Palestinians does not extend to full statehood, a position which appears to put him at odds with the White House.
As world leaders gather in London for this week's G20 summit, the Pope has called for a return to ethics in finance. He told Gordon Brown it was important for world leaders to listen to the voices of the unrepresented poor. David Willey reports from Rome.
In his letter to Mr. Brown, the Pope says it's his conviction that protectionist solutions to the world's financial meltdown must be avoided. But above all, the Pope says what's needed is a new sense of ethics. The financial crisis has been caused by a decline in ethical conduct, not by money given for development aid, the Pope argues. Solutions proposed by the summit must give security to families and stability to workers, he says. The Pope agrees with Mr. Brown that the elimination of extreme poverty, particularly in Africa, is the top priority of our times.
An American woman has won her 10-year legal battle with the cigarette maker Philip Morris and has been awarded $145 million. Mayoda Williams sued the company after her husband died of lung cancer in 1997. She says she'll give most of the money to charity. One of the leading opposition leaders in Venezuela, Manuel Rosales, who faces a series of corruption charges, is reported to have gone into hiding. Party officials said he'd taken refuge for his own safety but hadn't fled the country. Will Grant reports.
Manuel Rosales is in a safe location for his own protection, according to the president of his party, Omar Barbosa. His party said that Mr. Rosales would not hand himself over to what they called the pack of wolves of the judiciary unless his personal safety and a fair trial could be guaranteed. The charges against Mr. Rosales relate to his time as the governor of the oil-rich state of Zulia, in which he is accused of illicit enrichment of millions of dollars, as well as the illegal ownership of 14 properties in the state of Zulia. Manuel Rosales denies any wrongdoing.
World News from the BBC. The three men accused of murdering the South African reggae star Lucky Dube in 2007 have been found guilty by a court in Johannesburg. They're due to be sentenced on Wednesday. Court proceedings were delayed by the attempted escape of two of the accused. Lucky Dube, who was South Africa's best-selling reggae artist, was shot dead in front of his children by men trying to steal his car. A Canadian whom the authorities describe as a contract killer has admitted to nearly 30 charges of first-degree murder. The man, Gerald Gallant, who's already serving a life sentence, also pleaded guilty to 12 charges of attempted murder and several other offences. The killings occurred over a period of 25 years, beginning in 1978. His victims included members of biker gangs and alleged members of the mafia, but also some innocent bystanders. Gallant apologised for his crimes and read out a prepared statement in front of survivors and relatives of victims. A bipartisan group of U.S. senators is introducing a bill to lift restrictions on Americans traveling to Cuba. There's been an embargo on trade and travel since Fidel Castro came to power in 1959. Previous proposals to lift the sanctions failed because of stiff resistance from the influential Cuban-American community in Florida. From Washington, here's Kim Hutters.
When something hasn't worked for 50 years, it's time to try something different. This was the very simple explanation lawmakers gave on Capitol Hill when they explained why they were introducing the Freedom to Travel to Cuba Act. Calls have been growing here for a change in Washington's policy towards Cuba. Earlier this month, Congress voted to ease restrictions imposed by President George W. Bush in 2004 on travel and remittances for Cuban Americans. This bill would allow unrestricted travel for everybody from the U.S. to the communist island, although no one is yet calling to lift the trade embargo.
BBC News.